Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. This evening, Friday the 7th of May, 2010, with another exciting broadcast with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to contact the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com, and the studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942, that's 928-333-2942, and the studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now, if you'd like to ask questions or share research, you have productive hints and comments, etc., or send hate mail, you can email me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. That's how we continue our endeavors, our streams, our website, our exclusive stories, our conferences, our speaking engagements around the country. And through your support is how we do all that, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to expand even more. We have some great opportunities in front of us right now to go on a very large, powerful, prominent shortwave transmitter every evening at the prime time slot to accompany our current stream, etc. So it would not only be a backup plan, but it would be a huge audience expansion to get our message out there. Our solution-oriented message, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we're about. Doing some rough figuring this morning. Basically, if you're not in the Hot Club, which has a lot of benefits, you get the disc every month of the MP3s for the broadcast of that month, plus you get the PDF files for any of the free offers that we've given out, generally nightly, when possible. You get all that for your donation. If you're not part of the Hot Club, you need to be. Basically, we need 50 more Hot Club members starting now to cover this endeavor. 50 more Hot Club members every month to cover this endeavor to expand. And I'm not going to pay it out of pocket, ladies and gentlemen. So if you want to see this expand and get a farther reach constantly and get some more victories like we've done successively over and over again out west here, especially in property rights, religious rights, personal rights, rights to travel, then you need to help us expand that across this nation on a larger scale. 50 more Hot Club members right now. That's what we need. So if you're not part of that, that's what you need to do. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, then go to the Hot Shop. And there at the Hot Shop, you'll find where you can donate for hundreds and hundreds of different items, PDF downloads, PDF books in collections, single MP3 audio files, bundled series sets, DVD presentations, and you'll find the specifications and how to sign up for the Hot Club, ladies and gentlemen. So I would ask that you look into that. Now, tonight's offer, in fact, I'll go ahead and cover that right now, because we're going to start a new little short series with tonight's broadcast. And then after that, I'll wrap up the civil disobedience series as well. But tonight's offer, if you email me at ourthetime@hotmail.com tonight, the 7th of May, 2010, Friday, while this broadcast is new and live, I will send you a wonderful book, I have permission to distribute it, called The Thief of Privacy. And it really goes quite well with the topic of tonight's broadcast and the next couple successive broadcasts. Also, don't forget to continually stay in touch with the website, as with the news links that are posted there, even updated throughout the day, Veritas News exclusives, but there's a lot of info that goes on through there. And for you PA people, because I got more feedback just this morning on potentially 5 more attendees, if you're interested in that next year, you better jump on it. So, as soon as it's announced, that is. We should know that information the exact week, 5 days we were able to schedule with the facilities, et cetera, and the travel by the end of next week. We should know all that information. Everybody's working real hard on this together behind the scenes to get that done. As soon as that's announced, you better grab your spot because it's filling up quick. And this is a course, a set of courses with really hardcore, do-it-yourself, everything. Shelters, water gathering, food gathering, snaring, processing your meat, cooking it, water, outdoors, hardcore. So I am going to limit the class size. I don't have a choice but to do that. There's no way to be spread all over and effectively convey the training to everybody. So, ladies and gentlemen, be sure to have, after this musical break, something to write with here, because you're going to want to take notes on this Veritas exclusive series here, and it'll be followed up with written material as well on the website once the audio series is done. But be sure to take notes, because this is a field that most people aren't even aware exists. Me to pack my things and ladies and gentlemen. Your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time. Tonight, Friday, the 7th of May, 2010. And don't forget, email me tonight why this show is new and live, tonight only, for your free PDF book. Just email me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and reference The Thief. The book is called The Thief of Privacy, and it's a wonderful read. It goes quite well with the content. Now, this Veritas exclusive was kindly contributed by this ghost, and I am really glad he did this work. It's a wonderful work. He writes quite well, as all our writers do. And tonight is part one in the art and science of covered writing. Steganography, also known as steg or stego, is the art and science of transmitting hidden messages in such a way that only the sender and intended recipient or recipients are aware of the existence of the message. The word steganography is a Greek origin and literally means covered writing. It includes a vast array of methods of communication that conceal the existence of a hidden message. Among these methods are invisible inks, microdots, character arrangements, digital signatures, covert channels, and spread-spectrum communications. Steganography is closely linked to cryptography, the science of writing in secret codes. Cryptography is intended to make a message unreadable by a third party, but does not hide the existence of the message itself. Cryptography addresses, cryptography addresses all the elements necessary for secure communication over an insecure channel, namely privacy, confidentiality, key exchange, authentication, and non-repudiation. But cryptography does not always provide safe communication. This is where steganography comes in. The advantage of steganography over basic cryptography is that hidden messages do not attract attention to themselves. Plainly visible, encrypted messages, no matter how unbreakable, will arouse suspicion. Therefore, in contrast to cryptography, which protects only the contents of a message, steganography protects both the message and the communicating parties. Steganography is not intended to replace cryptography, but to supplement it. Hiding a message with stego methods reduce the chances of a message being detected. However, if that message is also encrypted, if discovered, it must also be cracked. This produces an additional layer of protection. Some origins and history, ladies and gentlemen. The first recorded use of the term steganography appeared circa 1499 AD in a set of books penned by a monk named Johannes Trithemius, one of the founders of modern cryptography. His three-volume work, Steganographia, describes an extensive system for concealing secret messages within innocuous text and contains various ciphers, including hidden messages concealed in long invocations of the names of angels. On its surface, the book appears to be a text about magic, and the initial reaction in the 16th century was so strong that steganographia was also circulated privately until publication in 1606. Almost 500 years later, in 1998, a mathematician at AT&T Labs deciphered mysterious codes in the third volume, and rather than a treatise on demonology, the work is now regarded as the first book-length treatment of cryptography in Europe. Although the term steganography was only coined at the end of the 15th century, its use dates back several millennia. One of the first documents describing what is now known as steganography is from the Histories of Herodotus. In ancient Greece, text was often written on wax-covered tablets. As the story goes, Demaratus wanted to warn Sparta that Xerxes intended to invade Greece. To avoid capture, he scraped the wax off some tablets and wrote a message on the underlying wood. He then covered the tablets with wax again and inscribed an innocent message on the wax. The tablets appeared to be harmless, so they easily passed inspection by the sentries. Herodotus also reports other ingenious examples of this ancient art. Histiaeus, ruler of Miletus, wanted to send a message to his friend Aristagoras, urging revolt against the Persians. Histiaeus shaved the head of his most trusted slave and tattooed a message on the slave's scalp. After the hair grew back, the slave was sent on his way with the message safely hidden. Upon arrival, Aristagoras reshaved the slave's head, revealing the message. The Spartans, the legendary warriors of ancient Greece, are said to be among the first to use steganography. They used a device known as a sky tale. And that's tale as in a story, T-A-L-E, sky tale, which consisted of a strap of leather wrapped around a piece of wood. The Spartans would write a secret message on the leather and then unwrap it and send it to a recipient. The recipient would then need a similar piece of wood to rewrap the leather around to decipher the message. It has been said that Julius Caesar was the first to use a letter substitution code to send military communications using a method which became known as a Caesar cipher. Caesar would use plain letters and substitute those letters with another letter 3 down in the alphabet. For example, A, or Alpha, would become D, Delta, and F, Foxtrot, would become I, India, etc. One of the more well-known forms of secret writing involves the use of invisible inks. Invisible inks have been in use for centuries and were used with much success as recently as World War II. An innocent-looking letter may contain a very different message written between the lines. Early in World War II, inks are milk, vinegar, fruit juices, and urine. All of these darken when heated. With the improvement of technology and the ease of decoding these invisible inks, more sophisticated inks have been developed which react to various chemicals. Some messages have to be developed, much as photographs are developed with a number of chemicals in processing labs. And as an aside, ladies and gentlemen, the old saying or adage, read between the lines, originates from these methods. Microdots and microfilm came about after the invention of photography. As message detection improved, new technologies were developed which could pass more information and be even less conspicuous. In both world wars, the Germans used microdots to hide information, a technique which FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover referred to as, quote, the enemy's masterpiece of espionage, end quote. Microdots are photographs the size of a printed period having the clarity of standard size typewritten pages. The first microdots were discovered masquerading as a period on a typed envelope carried by a German agent in 1941. The message was not hidden nor encrypted. It was just so small as to not draw attention to itself, at least for a while. Besides being so small, microdots permitted the transmission of large amounts of data, including drawings and photographs. In contemporary terms, steganography has evolved into a digital strategy of hiding information in some form of multimedia, such as an image, an audio file, like a .wav or MP3, or even a video file. With these new techniques, a hidden message is indistinguishable from white noise. Even if the message is suspected, there is no proof of its existence. To actually prove there was a message, and not just randomness, the code needs to be cracked. This feature of modern steganography provides plausible deniability. Some basic applications, ladies and gentlemen. Like many security tools, steganography can be used for a variety of reasons. It can be used to watermark images for reasons such as copyright protection. Digital watermarks, also known as fingerprinting, significant especially in copywriting material, are similar to steganography in that they are overlaid in files, which appear to be part of the original file and are thus not easily detectable by the average person. Steganography can also be used to maintain the confidentiality of valuable information, to protect the data from possible sabotage, theft, or unauthorized viewing. And of course, steganography can be used for covert communications, espionage, and subliminal techniques.
When it rains,
All right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time. Tonight, Friday, May the 7th, 2010. And don't forget, email me directly, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, for tonight's special PDF offer, The Thief of Privacy. Just reference The Thief, and I'll know what you mean. Tonight and tonight only, that offer is available. It's a full PDF book again, very large one. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, The Hour of the Time is listener supported. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop. And I encourage 50 of you that are not current members of the Hot Club to do so now. That is how we can do this swing. The shortwave is ready to move, and so are we, if the support is there. Now, again, we got to thank the Ghost for this well-written work here on steganography, The Art and Science of Covered Writing, another Veritas exclusive. Now to the basics. Generally, steganographic messages will appear to be something else. Images, articles, shopping lists, or some other cover text, including the concealment of information within computer files. In digital steganography, electronic communications may include steganographic coding inside a transport layer, such as a document file, image file, program, or protocol. Media files are ideal for steganographic transmission because of their large size. As a simple example, a sender might start with an innocuous image file and adjust the color of every 100th pixel to correspond to a letter in the alphabet. A change so subtle that someone not specifically looking for it is unlikely to notice it. The steganography process involves placing a hidden message in a transport medium called the carrier. The payload is the data to be covertly communicated. In digital steganography, the carrier is the signal, stream, or data file into which the payload is hidden. The carrier differs from the channel, which refers to the type of input, such as a JPEG image. The resulting signal, stream, or data file, which has the payload encoded into it, is sometimes referred to as the package, stego file, or covert message. The percentage of bytes, samples, or other signal elements which are modified to encode the payload is referred to as the encoding density and is typically expressed as a number between 0 and 1. In a set of files, those files considered likely to contain a payload are called suspects. If the suspect was identified through some type of statistical analysis, it might be referred to as a candidate. The use of a stego key may be employed for encryption of a hidden message and/or for randomization in the stego scheme. Stego can be used to great effect in written or printed documents. First, a message, the plain text, is encrypted by traditional means, using or producing a cipher text. Then, an innocuous cover text is modified in some way so as to contain the cipher text, resulting in the stego text. For example, the letter size, spacing, typeface, or other characteristics of a cover text can be manipulated to carry the hidden message. Only a recipient who knows the techniques used can recover the message and decrypt it. Sir Francis Bacon developed Bacon's cipher using this technique. And another aside, ladies and gentlemen, the gangs predominantly in the California prison system, and predominantly the AB or Aryan Brotherhood, used Bacon cipher extensively amongst the prison systems in the open to thwart the efforts of guard to capture communications for years before it was ever figured out. And that's in a, what you could say, ultimate controlled environment. And they still went unhampered for years. Now let's go to some of these steganographic techniques. Ladies and gentlemen, you may want to write each of these little points down as a refresher, and you'll know the points because I'll stress them. Technical steganography uses scientific methods to hide a message, such as the use of invisible ink or microdots or other size reduction methods. Linguistic steganography. Linguistic steganography hides the message in the carrier in a clandestine way and is further categorized as semigrams or open codes. Semigrams. That's semigrams. They hide information by the use of symbols or signs. A visual semigram uses innocent-looking or everyday physical objects to convey a message, such as doodles or the positioning of items on a desk or website. A text semigram hides a message by modifying the appearance of the carrier text, such as subtle changes in font size or type, adding extra spaces or different flourishes in letters or handwritten text. As an aside, ladies and gentlemen, use on the desk, as was mentioned here, items on a desk, is used quite often. In the military, we had at certain echelons little codes that we would work out amongst us at a company and battalion level. In other words, the first sergeant would put his coffee cup to the right or left side of his desk, depending on the mood of our commander that day. Or, if he was to ask a controversial request, and then we were to follow in innocuously, seeming that we were asking the request at a later time, if it was a pretty much of a go or no go, his pen and pencil holder would be in a different position. Now, open codes. Open codes hide a message in a legitimate carrier message in ways that are not obvious to an unsuspecting observer. The carrier message is sometimes called the overt communication, whereas the hidden message is the covert communication. This category is subdivided into jargon codes and covered ciphers. Jargon code. Jargon code. And I see this misspelled quite a bit, ladies and gentlemen, when people write me, so that you know it's J-A-R-G-O-N. Juliet, Alpha, Romeo, Golf, Oscar, November. Jargon code. And as the name suggests, jargon code uses language that is understood by a group of people but is meaningless to others. jargon codes include war talking, symbols used to indicate the presence and type of wireless network signal, underground terminology, or an innocent conversation that conveys special meaning because of facts known only to the speakers. A subset of jargon codes is Q codes, where certain prearranged phrases convey meaning. Ladies and gentlemen, jargon codes are used on a daily basis amongst friendly coworkers, slang, gangs on the streets to convey messages in front of everybody in broad daylight, military personnel, and secret societies. Next is covered or concealment ciphers. Covered or concealment ciphers. They hide a message openly in the carrier medium so that it can be recovered by anyone who knows the secret for how it was concealed. A grill cipher employs a template that is used to cover the carrier message. The words that appear in the openings of the template are the hidden message. As an aside, ladies and gentlemen, you might remember that scene in Con Air where they first realized in that prison cell that was now evacuated, they had the Last Supper picture with various portions' eyes cut out. That was a covered or grill cipher. A null cipher hides the message according to some prearranged set of rules, such as read every fifth word or look at the third character in every word. While digital steganography is a modern invention, physical and linguistic steganography has been widely used throughout history and continues to be used today. Possible variations are virtually endless. The following are some known examples. Hidden messages within wax tablets. As noted, this technique can be traced to ancient Greece, where messages were written on wood, which was then covered with wax, upon which an innocent covering message was written. The hidden tattoo technique has also been mentioned. The ancient Chinese wrote messages on silk and encased them in balls of wax. The wax ball, or la wan, could be hidden inside a messenger's body. In World War II, the French resistance sent message written on the backs of couriers using invisible ink. Hidden messages written on paper with secret inks under other messages or on blank parts of other messages. A classical example is a regular letter with secret messages written in between the lines with invisible ink. Messages written in Morse code by tying knots in knitting yarn and then knitting the yarn into a piece of clothing worn by a courier. Messages written on the back of postage stamps. Microdots. As previously discussed, during and after World War II, espionage agents used photographically produced microdots to send information back and forth. Microdots were typically minute, less than the size of the period produced by a typewriter. Sign language. In 1968, crew members of the USS Pueblo intelligence ship held as prisoners by North Korea communicated in sign language during staged photo opportunities, informing the United States they were not defectors, but rather were being held captive by the North Koreans. In other photos presented to the U.S., crew members gave the finger to the unsuspecting North Koreans in an attempt to discredit photos that showed them smiling and comfortable. In Vietnam, prisoners at the infamous Hanoi Hilton communicated messages on camera through Morse code by blinking their eyes. Some argue that the U.S. Marine Corps' Navajo code talkers of World War II represent a form of steganography. The messages themselves weren't encrypted. The plain text was right there in the open, just in a language that was unknown by the Japanese. One of the common forms of stego, as lightly covered earlier, called a null cipher. And in this type of cipher, the real message is camouflaged in an innocent-sounding cover message. The hidden message is formed by taking the first or other fixed letter of each word in the cover message.
Crooked daddy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Another Veritas exclusive here, the art and science of covered writing. Thank you to the Ghost. Today, this evening, Friday the 7th of May, 2010. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. And for those of you who are conference attendees out there listening, this broadcast is a message in and of itself, ladies and gentlemen. Now, to recap briefly from before the musical break, the cipher, the null, as in N-U-L-L, November Uniform Lima Lima, the null cipher, is where the real message is camouflaged in an innocent-sounding cover message. The hidden message is formed by taking the first or other fixed letter of each word in the cover message. An example of a message containing a null cipher is fishing freshwater bins and saltwater coasts rewards anyone feeling stressed. Resourceful anglers usually find masterful leapers fun and admit swordfish rank overwhelming any day. Again, ladies and gentlemen, fishing freshwater bins and saltwater coast rewards anyone feeling stressed. Resourceful anglers usually find masterful leapers fun and admit swordfish rank overwhelming any day. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were to take the third letter in each word, it would produce the hidden message, send lawyers, guns, and money. Null ciphers can also be used to hide cipher text as part of a more complex system. Another form of stego involves a template. For example, a piece of paper with holes cut in it, or a set of pre-selected locations on the page to hide a message. When using templates, the sender and receiver must each use the same template or rules to decode the cipher. Variations of the template method include pinpricks and maps to use as an overlay for relevant letters in messages, deliberate misspellings to mark words in the message, and use of small changes in spacing to indicate significant letters or words in a hidden message. In the case of the Spartan Sky Tale, the template was a specially shaped stick. On the internet, spam is a very potential carrier medium for hidden messages. Short text messages can be converted into a text block that looks like typical spam, which is generally ignored and discarded. When one considers that messages could be encrypted steganographically in email messages, particularly email spam, the notion of junk email takes on a whole new light. Coupled with the technique known as chaffing and winnowing, a sender could get messages out and cover their tracks all at once. Digital steganography. Ladies and gentlemen, digital steganography. as an increasing amount of data is stored on computers and transmitted over networks, it is not surprising that steganography has entered the digital age. On computers and networks, steganography applications allow for someone to hide any type of binary file in any other binary file, although image and audio files are today's most common carriers. Modern steganography entered the world in 1985 with the advent of the personal computer applied to classical steganographic problems. Development following that was slow, but has since taken off. There are hundreds of steganographic programs currently available, ranging from free downloads to commercial products. Digital steganography techniques include concealing hidden message within image and sound files, concealing data within encrypted data or within random data. The data to be concealed is first encrypted before being used to overwrite part of a much larger block of encrypted data or a block of random data. An unbreakable cipher like the one-time pad, generate ciphertexts that look perfectly random if you don't have the private key. Mimic functions. These convert one file to have the statistical profile of another. This method can thwart statistical methods that help brute force attacks identify the right solution in a ciphertext-only attack. Pictures embedded in video material, optionally played at slower or faster speed. Now, an example of this at the recent conference was shown around the attendees by Tim from back east on his little phone gadget on a video he had. That, for example, I'm sure some of you remember that, was an exact example of this. Injecting imperceptible delays to packets sent over the network from the keyboard. Delays in key presses in some applications, for instance, Telnet or remote desktop software, can mean a delay in packets, and the delays in the packets can be used to encode data. Chaffing and winnowing. That's spelled, by the way, C-H-A-F-F-I-N-G. Charlie, Hotel, Alpha, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, India, November, Golf. And winnowing. W-I-N-N-O-W-I-N-G. This technique consists of adding false packets to a message at the source, the sender end of the circuit, and then removing the false packets at the destination, the receiver end. The false packets obscure the intended message and render the transmission unintelligible to anyone except authorized recipients. Content-aware steganography. That's content-aware steganography. Hides information in the semantics a human user assigns to a datagram. Hides information in the semantics a human user assigns to a datagram. These systems offer security against a non-human adversary or warden, as in prison warden. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening to another live broadcast here, Friday the 7th of May, 2010, with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Another Veritas exclusive here, and solution-oriented. The Art and Science of Covered Writing, Part 1 this evening, contributed by The Ghost. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, again, our website, hourofthetime.com. We are listener-supported, and for our current goal, the large-scale shortwave transmitting, we need 50 Hot Club members now. Now, if you'd like to write us again, the P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. My personal email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and that's what you'll use to ask for The Thief of Privacy, our PDF book offer for this evening. Free to you that are solution-oriented and minded, as a thank you from us to you for being there. The studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942, and in Canada, 613-733-4324. I hope everyone has a safe and a studious evening.